Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was an earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." I woke up this morning and looked outside and thought, "Merry Christmas." How crazy to be celebrating Easter Resurrection Sunday in Wisconsin. Heidi practiced with you, and kids who are in here for Kids Club, I know she said, "I'm sorry you have to be in here." No, no, no. This is a good thing for you to be in here. This is nothing new. I know, Kids Club is fun, and you'll get to go there next week. Kids, though, I need your help this morning, along with everybody else. Did you hear what Heidi had taught and then what Jacqueline had practiced? The Easter greeting for Resurrection Sunday. He is risen.
He is risen.
All right. Now, kids, I'm not sure if I heard your voices. Can we try it once with just the Kids Club age kids here? Can we try that once, just the kids? So, adults, let's give them a chance. He is risen. I heard a couple. I didn't hear much from this side, so we'll get you guys soon. I'm Aaron Winniwiski. I'm the pastor here at New Day. And I've been asked the question, when you start a church, how do you name it? How do you get that figured out? I coach a lot of church planters, and they go through this process. And I remember for Michelle and I, as we were dreaming about a new church where people would come together, would worship God, people who maybe hadn't opened a Bible ever, people who are maybe hearing about the good news of Jesus Christ for the first time, that he died so your sins could be forgiven, that you don't have to work to be accepted by God, that he gives his acceptance as a free gift through Jesus Christ. The people had never heard that before. What would be a good name for a church? We took a poll at the church that we were serving at the time, where I was doing an internship, and we put in the program, like, just similar to this, with a little tear-off portion, a little communication card, and we took a poll of the people in that church, and we said, if you had nothing to go on except church names, which church would you first visit? Would it be A, Amazing Grace Community Church? It goes with one of the songs that we sang. B, Crossroads Community Church. Or C, Silver Creek Community Church. Now, Crossroads won by a mile, but then we discovered that right down the road here, There is a New Hope Community Church, and right down the road the other direction, there's a Christ Community Church. So we said, okay, not Community Church. That would be confusing. And then we found out that there's a Crossroads Church in Rothschild, so we scrapped the whole thing, and we're left with nothing. But one day we're sitting, just like you are, during a Sunday service, and the teacher made reference, not, you know, you don't often hear reference to this, but made reference to Anne of Green Gables. Anyone? Anne of Green Gables, the movie, the book? And at one point, Anne said, "Tomorrow is always fresh with no mistakes in it." That quote happened on a Sunday morning. Tomorrow is always fresh with no mistakes in it. And Michelle and I, it was like at the same moment, looked at each other, and I said, "New day." And she was like, "Yeah." It was like it. We had been looking and searching and working for it, and then there it was, a name for a church. And New Day has a number of different biblical applications and draws from biblical themes. Like, there's this book in the Old Testament called Lamentations, which basically means like sad complaining. And there's this one verse in the midst of all this sadness that really stands out. Lamentations 3:23 says, "Great is His faithfulness," talking about God. "His mercies begin afresh every morning." So in the Old Testament, we see this idea of a new day being God's mercies being new, being fresh, never wearing out. And then we see, of course, in the New Testament, where there's the resurrection. We just heard from Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. So we see new day in history. And then in the book of Revelation, we see a vision of what's coming, a vision of the future, a vision of a judgment day followed by a renewal. God saying, "Behold, I make all things new." So new day is something from the past, and it's also something from the future. And of course, Resurrection Sunday is one of the most important new days of all time. So that's where the name New Day came from. And as I'm thinking about a new day, I'm also reading this book called The Book of Mysteries by an author named Jonathan Kahn. And he asks a question in there that I hadn't considered before. And Kids Club kids, I need you to perk up for another moment because I've got a quiz here, a quick question. What comes first, day or night? Day. See, we don't ask that question very often because it's really obvious, right? Day comes first and then moves into night. Light comes first and then moves into darkness. Just like youth comes first and moves into age. Life comes first and moves into death. It seems obvious. In this book, though, it pointed out that's not how God operates. In God's way of operating, it's the opposite. We'll take a look. After the crucifixion, which we acknowledged on Friday, Good Friday, after the crucifixion, a man named Joseph took responsibility for preparing the body of Jesus for burial and putting his body in a tomb. And then we read in Luke chapter 23, verse 54, this was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation, as the Sabbath was about to begin. The Sabbath was Saturday. So the burial happened late on Friday afternoon as Saturday was about to begin. The Sabbath began when the sun went down on Friday. So in God's way of operating, night comes before day. If we read in Genesis, we read the creation poem, and we see that there was darkness, and then God said, let there be light. First darkness, then light. We see this repeated phrase, and there was evening and there was morning the first day. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. God operates from night to day. So what? what does that matter that night comes first? The crucifixion of Jesus that we're acknowledging right now and the resurrection of Jesus is a dramatic example of God working from darkness to light, from death to life. Many of us in this room are well acquainted with darkness. We are going through difficult times. We're experiencing unjust people winning. We're experiencing sickness. We're experiencing death around us. It seems like we have so many technological advances that help us make our lives better, and yet it's not like from generation to generation people are feeling less empty and more full in their lives and in their hearts. All these technological advances, and we still have rising anxiety, we have rising depression, we have advances in medical technology that allow us to live long, and we're scrambling to hold on to life. If we could just get a few more days out of it. Or sometimes we're thinking, if we could just not have any more days, if we could just end it, just be done. We are acquainted with darkness. The resurrection perspective gives us a new perspective. The resurrection reminds us that darkness is not the end of God's work. This isn't the end of God's work, but the beginning. The resurrection perspective gives new life to the words that Jesus said to his disciples, that he says to us. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. John came in this morning, my friend over here in the front row, and he said, howdy, Mr. Hollywood. And I said, John, do you say that because I look so good today? He said, no, I saw you on the news. Ah, yes, on Friday, we had our annual Good Friday blood drive, and the news comes, and they do a little story because it's interesting. And Rachel did a great job planning it. We had a number of volunteers there. It was wonderful, the number of people who came and the work that they did in order to make it happen. I get a regular request, though, each year. Can I please not be the one to be on the news? Will you do it, Aaron? So I'm like, okay, I'll do it. But it's not because I am thrilled about being on camera. I came home, and I think it was on social media that there was a news story, and Michelle was like, oh, I'm going to watch it. I leave the room. I don't want to see what I look like. I don't want to hear what I sound like. However, I do it because I think there's something really beautiful about being in a community where they don't mind putting on the news that we're acknowledging a day where Jesus shed his blood to save lives. So we have other people who are donating their blood to save lives. And we can point to a day where we're remembering Christ on the local news. I love that. So it isn't about tooting our horn. It's not about saying, we're such good people for doing what we do. It's about obeying what Jesus said, where he said, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So we live in a dark time, we live in a dark world, and we're given the responsibility to bring light. So I don't mind being on camera if it's going to help people worship, glorify, acknowledge, praise our Heavenly Father. In a way, we are in a time of darkness. The earth is under the curse of sin and death. The death rate continues to be 100%. God is moving creation towards a time of light and renewal. A time when there is no suffering, when there are no tears, when there is no death. That's the direction things are moving, from dark to light. And in the meantime, disciples of Jesus are to experience his light and reflect it to the world. That's what's happening here. That's what the church is about. I was at a Ren Collective concert at Mount Olive Lutheran Church, and the lead singer said at one point something that really stuck with me. He said, we need to stop thinking of the church as a place for us to hunker down and be comfortable and protect ourselves. He said, the church is where disciples of Jesus gather for strength so that we can scatter for light. And I love that image of gathering for strength and scattering for light. What does that look like, to gather for strength and gather for light in a dark world? Gathering, part of it is understanding the church as people, not as a building. We're a church that will meet wherever we can get space. I appreciate you all for coming to a space that doesn't have a cross on the outside of the building, that doesn't have the word church on a sign that is permanently affixed. You understand the church is a gathering of disciples of Jesus, not just a cold building that happens to fill up once a week. So gathering for strength is about acknowledging that the church isn't a building, that the church is people who do gather, and we gather each week. We gather on Sunday morning to worship together. We gather in small groups during the week. We gather together to share meals. Next week, we're going to gather after this worship service. We're going to go have lunch in a different building, and we're going to see some people being baptized, and we're going to share a meal together. We have people who enjoy the service together, and then they gather with family, and they discuss what was taught and how to apply it to your lives. There is gathering that happens in the church, gathering for strength. We're in a process right now where we're working on selling the one piece of property that we own. Our office on Willow Street is now listed. If anybody wants to buy it, let me know. That'd be awesome. We're selling our office because we think we can be more purposeful about gathering and scattering effectively in a different piece of property. But we just don't know which one yet. I love that we're a part of a group of people, a part of people who are so faithful that they say, we trust that God is going to provide. So we're willing to sell the office because we know it's not the most effective piece of property for us right now. We'll sell it, and then we'll see what happens. Now, it's going to involve raising some money. Yeah, I know you're shocked. The church is going to ask for money. Some people criticize the church for that. I'm telling you, though, this gathering of people is a group of people who say, it is a joy for me to trust God. It is a joy for me to acknowledge that everything is His and to ask Him, what, because everything that I have, God, is already yours, what do you want me to release back to you for your purposes? That's the kind of people we have here. That's the kind of thinking that disciples do. So we're praying for vision and direction from God for a more functional ministry center. That's gathering. Gathering for strength. What about scattering? Scattering is overcoming fear with faith. We saw that at the Good Friday blood drive. We saw some first-time donors, people who up to this point have known that giving blood is a way to save lives. It's a good thing to give blood, but for whatever reason, we're hesitant to do it. Some people have a fear of needles. And some people on Friday got over that fear and gave for the first time. Some people gave for the second time. Last year they got over their fear, and this year they continued that process. We had somebody there who has been giving for years and years. We had somebody who was a first-time donor, and then right next to her was somebody who was a 59th-time donor. She gets pins in the mail from the blood center. It's like awards for how much she's donated. We had 37 successful blood donations. We had 7 deferrals. We had 2 boxes of hygiene supplies donated from people who knew they would be deferrals but still wanted to make some kind of a sacrifice on that day. We've been involved in Revive Wisconsin, people going out into the community and loving, listening, discerning, and responding, looking for people to start conversations with, to ask, who are you? How are you doing? Is there some way that I can pray for you? And to see if there's an openness to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Revive Wisconsin is on April 8th is expanding to the Chippewa Valley, and then 2 weeks later is expanding to Marshfield. A lot of it has to do with what some of the people in this room have been involved in starting. Backyard missions. If we could bring the lights up just a bit. We're moving from darkness to light. That's great. Backyard missions, you can read some about it in your program. You can respond in your program. Let me tell you what it is, though. I already mentioned this process, love, listen, discern, respond. Backyard missions is a lot like that. You are in a position where you are asked by God to love your neighbor, to look around and look for needs in the community, to see a household that you think maybe somebody here could use some help. And then don't talk to them. Seriously, don't. That's step two. Love is look for a need in the community. And then we have nomination forms where you fill out as much information as you know about the situation in this household. That's loving, looking for where there's a need. Fill out a nomination form, and then the next step is listen. We have people in here who are skilled at caring for other people. We call them our ouch team. They listen for the hurts. So they will take that nomination form and contact someone in the community who you have said maybe this person could use help. They'll contact them and start a conversation. And they'll ask, is there anything that we can help you with around the house, anything? And they'll start a conversation. They'll listen. And then they'll take what they've heard from that household, if they'll even let them in. Some people don't even want to have that conversation. That's okay. We're looking for people who do want to have that conversation. Then we'll take those what we've heard from those households, and we'll bring it to a project team. They'll discern, can we help in this situation? Does it make sense? Do we have the right skills, the right tools, the right people? And they'll design projects. So it's love, listen, discern, and then respond. We have a week this summer where we have people who are taking off from work like you would do if you were going on a missions trip, but this is a missions trip to our backyards. They're taking time off from work to be available that week to go on project teams in order to respond to these needs. My son is planning to go on a missions trip, And also Lily planning to go to Japan. And the cost is mostly for transportation. And it's going to cost $4,000 for each of them for transportation, essentially, to do a missions trip to Japan. That's a lot of resources. We feel like we could have a huge impact right here rather than trying to send everybody across the world. Let's let a couple of people do that, and let's be missionaries in our backyard. So that's one of the ways that we scatter light that I want you to consider being involved in. And then we have ministry teams who create an environment here week after week where broken people can intersect with God's word and God's love. Why am I telling you all this? Again, I'm not trying to toot our horn. We have a lot of wonderful churches in this community. And some of you are here, you're visiting. This isn't your normal church. This isn't a normal place you worship. I'm not trying to sell you on this church. I'm trying to tell you, God works from darkness to light. And every church should be in the business of figuring out, how are we bringing light? How are we giving clues of what it looks like for death to become life? How are we showing what it looks like for night to become day? How are we giving a taste of what it's going to be like when all things are made new? What does it look like when God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven? We're giving previews. That's what every church should be involved in. So if you're just visiting here, that's great. We're so glad you're here. I encourage you to get involved in any church that is gathering for strength in order to scatter for light. That is the pattern that God is in. He shows us from Genesis to Revelation, that is the business that He's in. He shows us on Resurrection Sunday, that is the business He is in. We know that darkness can move towards light. We know that even death can move towards life. We know it because Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus went from death to life. He promised that anyone who relies on Him for forgiveness and new life will not perish, will not move from life to death, but from death to eternal life. He is risen. He is risen. Trust in the risen Christ for forgiveness and new life. Connect to His church. I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about any church that is preaching the gospel of Jesus, that is teaching from the Bible, that is gathering for strength and scattering for light. Show the world that even though it feels dark now, there is a new day dawning. Let's pray. God, as we remember Jesus, who died and rose again, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, I pray, God, that we would get a taste of that joy, because we have some things to endure. God, give us strength as You move us through this darkness, as You shine a light in us and through us into a world that is marred by sin, by pain, by loss, by death. Let us experience a taste of the resurrection here and now, and let us share it with others as we look forward to the return of Christ, to the announcement, "Behold, I make all things new." God, thank You for the promise of a new day. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.